All right, it's 11:30. Do we have everyone? Think I see everyone. Okay, great. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining. First item of business is reading our preamble, which is required. So please bear with me. Let's see. Okay, in accordance with state law regarding public meetings held via electronic equipment, this meeting will be recorded and the recording will be posted on the authority's website. During the meeting, individuals must state their name and title, if applicable, before speaking during the meeting. Votes must be taken by roll call unless the vote is unanimous. And in the event the meeting is interrupted due to technical difficulties, members and staff will receive a text or email advising whether, number one, the meeting is adjourned or canceled, or number two, the time the meeting will resume. So with that, I'd like to do a roll call, starting with myself, Peter Lisi. Obviously, I'm present. Bettina Brown Eyes.
I'm here.
Thank you. Marty Budd.
Here.
Thank you. Andrew Foster.
Here.
Thank you. Michael Izzati.
I'm here.
Thank you. Carrie Kelly.
Present.
Thank you. Julie Savino. Julie? Not yet. And Laura Baker, standing in for Kelly Marie Valliers. Okay. Laura?
Present.
Thank you. Give one more shout out for Julie Savino. Is she there?
She's showing on the screen, Peter, but she's muted. Maybe she's doing something else.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we got another conference, so yeah, she might just have stepped away.
Well, I was going to say, if we have Julie, that means we have 100% attendance, which is a wonderful thing. So, okay, first item of business are the minutes from our June 13th meeting. As is my hope and custom, I'm hoping folks took some time to read them and review them, and I would entertain a motion to accept the minutes as presented from our June 13th, 2023 meeting. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Marty. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. So the motion's been made and seconded to accept to adopt the minutes as presented from our June 13th, 2023 meeting. Are there any comments or edits? Any discussion? Any corrections that need to be made? All right, hearing none. All those in favor of adopting the minutes as presented, please say aye.
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 Anyone
Aye.
opposed?
Aye.
Any abstentions?
I'm Andrew Foster. I'm going to abstain. I was not at the meeting, so.
Thank you. One abstention.
Peter, this is Julie Savino. I'm sorry I wasn't able to speak earlier. I am on the call, so I am observing. So if you don't hear me, like Josh said, I am at another conference. So,
No
okay.
worries. Thank you,
Thank
Julie.
you.
All right, minutes are adopted unanimously. Thank you. I'm going to turn it over to Representatives from Whittlesey for the review of the draft of the fiscal 23 audit.
Yep. Hi, we're here. Do you want us to go over the numbers, or I think last year, Carly might have gone over, Joey might have gone over the numbers, and then we would do our report. Do you guys have a preference?
I don't have a preference, no.
Rob, maybe I'll default to Joanne and Carly if they want to do it. That portion.
Well, I don't know that we need to go over, this is Marty Budd. I don't know that we need to go over all of Chief's accounts. I think we ought to only look at the footnotes that apply to Cheslow.
Yeah, Cheslow, that's, yeah, I'm sorry, that's what I meant to,
That was the
clarify.
plan. Yeah.
So,
Carly's ready. Carly's ready. She'll do her brief summary, like similar to what we just did for
okay.
Chief. Sure.
Perfect. We have some numbers in there. I just want to make sure we're not going out of
Yep.
turn turning.
Perfect.
Carly
Thank you.
Okay.
will take it over.
All right, Carly, floor is yours.
She was having a little trouble with the audio. So let me go check on her. Tom, why don't you start?
Yeah, we can start. Okay. So hi, everybody. Hopefully you recognize us. I'm Tom Goldfuss from Whittlesey. I'm the partner. With me is Nicole Pelletier, who is a manager with us on the engagement team. We have two managers. We have Nicole and Lindsay. Lindsay was on yesterday going over Chifa's results. And today I have Nikki going over to help us with Chasla and CSLF. So I believe she has a presentation that she's going to share and go through. High level information, really basically some of the things that we do and your responsibilities, and then our required communications. But if anybody has any questions, please speak up and we can address those either during the presentation or after. So with that, I'll turn it over to Nikki.
Okay, so I'm gonna share my screen. Let's see if everyone can see that. All right, so if everyone can see that, maybe just give me a nod so I can make sure. Yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
So we're gonna go into our presentation here. So this is for Chasla and CSLF. So some of the things we're gonna go over today, like Tom said, our objectives in planning the audit, the overview of our results, required communications, some significant audit areas and estimates, some high-level financial statement highlights, the status of our other deliverables, and then the current and emerging accounting issues. Getting into our objectives, so we're required to conduct our audit in accordance with auditing standards generally accepted in the United States of America and government auditing standards. Those standards require that we obtain reasonable rather than absolute assurance about whether the financial statements are free from material misstatement, whether caused by error or fraud. Our audit includes obtaining an understanding of internal controls sufficient to plan the audit and determine the nature, time, and extent of procedures performed.
Hello?
Hello.
Quick, is there any chance you can pick up the newspapers?
Oh, I think someone is supposed to be on mute. I'll just keep going. We perform a risk assessment to determine the extent of testing across all financial statement line items. We focus our audit effort on high risk, high dollar areas and perform limited testing on the low risk, low dollar areas. Our audit effort was focused on the entity's critical accounting estimates and areas requiring judgment that have the highest risk of material misstatement. And throughout the audit, we remain cognizant of fraud risk. So our approach included gaining understanding of controls designed to prevent, deter, and detect fraud. Our audit work is complete. So we've prepared an initial draft of the financial statements and that's been reviewed by management. We don't expect that there will be any changes to our conclusions based on the final review of the audited financial statements. Our independent auditor opinion as of and for the year ended June 30th, 2023, will conclude that the financials are presented fairly in all material respects in accordance with US GAAP. As a part of the audit, an IT control specialist at Whittlesey reviewed the entity's IT environment and general IT related controls. We encountered no difficulties dealing with management and completing the audit. All the information that we had requested from Charles and Joanne and Carly and the rest of the team was provided promptly and allowed us to complete the audit on schedule. All adjusting journal entries were discussed with management and there were no uncorrected misstatements. All right, so getting into some of the required communications. Our responsibilities as auditors under generally accepted auditing standards and government auditing standards were communicated in our engagement letter, which was dated in May of this year and will be further discussed in the presentation. Our judgments about the accounting policies. So the significant accounting policies we determined were appropriate and have been consistently applied. There were no new accounting policies adopted during this year, and the application of the existing policies was not changed. We've evaluated key factors and assumptions that were used to develop key accounting estimates and found them to be reasonable in relation to the financial statements as a whole. There were no unadjusted differences, and all audit adjustments were made by management. We noted no instances of fraud or illegal acts. There were no material weaknesses that were identified. And like I said before, we had no disagreements or difficulties in dealing with management while performing the audit. We did not use a management consultant or consult with other accountants. And we confirm that we are independent with respect to the entities under all relevant professional and regulatory standards. So getting into the significant audit areas and transactions, the significant audit areas that we identified were the allowance for uncollectible amounts, the new bonds that were issued, and student loans. So for the allowance, we audited the allowance calculations and determined that if the allowance allocations are appropriate while auditing loans and the provision for uncollectible amounts. Collection rates are strong and there's few delinquencies in the portfolio, and also federal loans do have a guarantee. For the new bonds that were issued, we read official statements for the new bond issues during the year and reviewed the accounting transactions. And for student loans, we audited the balance of student loans, the transactions during the year by understanding the process for student loans through internal documents and the processes by reconciling and tying out third-party reports to the general ledger and reconciling fund balances. We also selected some monthly receipts and tested the transactions by comparing receipts to the general ledger and servicing reports. The significant accounting estimates that we identified are the allowance for uncollectible amounts and also interest payments due on bond CSLF bonds in future years. And that is a disclosure in the footnotes to the financials. For the allowance, we reviewed the assumptions used by management to calculate the allowance for uncollectible amounts, which includes historical data and calculations based on current outstanding balances. And for the interest payments due on CSLF bonds, the approximate future interest payments were estimated based on an average of interest rates that are applicable during the most recent fiscal year. Here are some high-level financial statement highlights. I'm not going to get into these super in-depth, but you can see for Tresla and CSLF, current assets did exceed current liabilities. There was an increase in the change in allowance for uncollectible amounts by $454,000 for Tresla and a decrease for CSLF for $208,000. And restricted net position makes up 65% and 2% of net position for Tresla and CSLF, respectively. Getting into the income statement numbers, you can see there was an overall net position increase in Tresla and a decrease in CSLF. That decrease in CSLF is largely related to the transfer from CSLF to Tresla, which is that bottom number, the 4.25 million. But overall, there was an increase in net position across the two entities. And the statement of cash flows, you can see overall change, cash remained relatively consistent from prior year. So with the status of our other deliverables, we completed the CSLF Form 990, and that's been provided in a draft format. There were no significant changes to the form since last year. All key questions were answered appropriately, and the amounts in the 990 reconciled to CSLF's financial statements. The CSLF agreed upon procedure engagement has also been completed and provided in draft format and is pending approval and pending final approval and signed management representations. This agreed upon procedure engagement was completed in compliance with Chapter 3, Section C of the U.S. Department Education Guide for compliance attestation engagements of lenders holding federal family education loan programs. And there were no findings in that engagement. Onto the current and emerging accounting issues. So there are two new GASB pronouncements. And the first one is GASB 100. This is going to enhance accounting and financial reporting requirements for accounting changes and error corrections. And that became effective July 1, 2023. And then GASB 101 updates the recognition and measurement of measurement guidance for compensated absences. And that will be effective July 1, 2024. We do not expect that either of these pronouncements, once they're implemented, will have a material effect on the future financial statements.
Excuse me, this is Marty Budd. What is recognition and reimbursement or measurement guidance for compensated absence? What's a compensated absence?
So that has to do, and Tom or Joanne or someone can step in.
Vacation time, sick time, making sure that there have been some inconsistencies with how that's been accrued or applied for some organizations. My belief is that you're doing it the way that you should be in that new standard is only going to confirm that you're doing it right. But I'm not 100% sure on that yet. That's great. Basically PTO and sick time, how to accrue for it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And that's the end of our little presentation. I'll open it up to any questions.
Marty, but I have a couple of questions. One, under government accounting standards, is there a limit on how long a partner can be assigned to a particular client? And how long has Whittlesey been assigned to Chesla Chief?
I'll take that. Under generally accepted government auditing standards, there is no partner rotation or firm rotation requirements. However, the state law with the quasi-governmental agencies state that you have to rotate every 6 years. So we have been engaged on this audit. This is our second year. I also was the partner last year on it. So this is our second year.
2 years. Is that 2 years you're saying?
2 years. Yeah. Right,
thank you.
Yep.
My other question is, in the package for CSLF, you have the board approving the financial statements. I had a problem with that. Are you going to ask this board now to approve the financial statements?
No, on the you're referring to the 990 form?
No, the 990 is a separate issue. But they had proposed resolutions. I thought approving...
I'm not sure how you do. We don't require that. So that would be your internal.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for Tom or Nicole? Anything? Was there anything, Carly or Joanne, did you want to add?
Hey, Peter, this is Charles. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear Charles, yes.
miracle of technology, right? I'm joining you on my cell phone, but seeing you on Zoom. And I'm sure you guys may have already crossed this, but I just wanted to say thank you to the team and thank you to Whittlesey for our job well done. A little daunting coming into an audit in my first 2 weeks, but they made it easy and a valuable learning experience. So just a big thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we shared those thoughts yesterday too at Chief Board meeting. Joanne and Charles and Carly and Kevin and the whole team, you know, it was a very good relationship working with them, and they were very responsive and helped tremendously, and overall good experience, I think, working together again for the second year.
And Carly, were you going to review some financials?
Yes, I do have a few key points.
Okay.
Kara, if you wanted to put up page 83 of the packet, please.
Great, thank
you. Page 53 of the audit. So for Chesla, I'm going to start with the statement of net position for June 30, 2023.
Any way to make that bigger? Thank you.
Operating revenues were $10.8 million, which is a decrease from fiscal 2022 of $5.6 million. The primary reasons for the decrease were the state contribution the previous year of $7 million for the Alliance District's Teacher Loan Subsidy Program, which Chesla, like I said, received in fiscal 2022, and an increase this fiscal year of CSLF funds, which were received which were received this fiscal year. Operating expenses increased by $2.4 million from fiscal 2022. Primary reasons for the increase were the interest expense, which increased by approximately $1.7 million from fiscal 2022, and the increase of the provision for loan loss for this fiscal year. Total operating income was $1.2 million in fiscal 2023 compared to fiscal 2022, which was $9.3 million. And the change in net position for fiscal 2023 after non-operating income was $3.5 million, which is a decrease of $5.1 million from fiscal 2022. The page before, so page 82 of your packet, or 52 of the audit. The two key points I wanted to mention were student loan receivable net of the allowance was $123.9 million, an increase of $3.4 million from fiscal 2022. The in-school program had a decrease of approximately $1 million, and the refinance program increased by approximately $4.4 million. Bonds payable of $159 million is an increase of $18.4 million from fiscal 2022. In fiscal 23, Tesla closed one new bond issue totaling $25.8 million. Tesla also issued or also used excess revenues to redeem additional bonds in the 2019A, 2019B, and the 2020 bond series, totaling $4.7 million. And the total net position as of June 30, 2023 for Tesla was $44.6 million. I don't know if there's questions.
Any questions for Carly? No.
I also have some key points for CSLF. I don't know if you wanted me to mention those now.
I think probably during the CSLF meeting, unless anyone has a burning desire right now.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Nicole, Tom, or Carly? All right. Thank you all very much. Let's see. Jeanette and Josh, would you like to discuss your memo on this recommendation for the allocation of unrestricted funds?
Peter, excuse me, this is Denise. The board needs to approve the portion of the financial statements related to Tesla.
All right, I apologize. Okay, I've been advised that the board needs to accept the audited statements as it relates to Tesla. Would someone like to make that motion?
So moved.
Thank you, Marty. Is there a second?
Second, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew. I apologize for that oversight. Are there any further questions or discussion? Any questions for Tesla staff or Nicole or Tom from Whittlesey? Questions or comments? All right, hearing none, all those in favor of the motion to accept the fiscal 23 audit as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Thank you, Denise, for that reminder. All right, on to the memo for the recommendation on the allocation of unrestricted funds. Jeanette and Josh.
Yes, thanks, Peter. So on page 89 of the board package is a memo which is summarizing management's proposed allocation of unrestricted funds. And this, if you recall, at the meeting in June, the request was made that we come up with some parameters for how we would use our unrestricted dollars. And so Josh and I, as we discussed this, the percentages, we decided to do it on a percentage basis because obviously each year the dollar amount is going to vary and we're not committing to use certain amounts, you know, within a year's time. But the percentages that are identified in the memo really fit with how we would prioritize the use of these unrestricted dollars. So with 60% being available for equity contributions on future bond deals, so seeing that as most significant in terms of having impact on our loan rates, 30% available for the Chesla Scholarship Program, given that, you know, the bulk of the dollars do come from CSLF, and then the 10% for other initiatives. And so Josh is going to give some additional kind of color commentary on how those percentages play out.
Yes, thanks, Annette. So per accounting, as of August month end, the unrestricted funds totaled about $3.1 million. So if we look at the rough percentage allocations we provided, 60% available for equity contributions for future bond deals, that would be about $1.86 million. 30% available for the Chesla Scholarship Program would be about $930,000. And lastly, 10% available for seed money for new initiatives would be about $310,000. To provide some extra background regarding the equity contributions with our 2023 bond deal, the equity contribution was about $1.26 million for the bond deal. Overall, we believe these allocations are a prudent approach, as Chesla's mission is to provide cost-effective finance and education programs for Connecticut students, alumni, and their families. So, now specifically, most of the allocation to the equity contributions can help us ensure that we keep our loan rates low for students and families. And then also with the scholarship program, which has evolved over the years, that's a great program that had dispersed nearly $11 million, impacting over 5,700 students. So that's why we basically decided to allocate most of the unrestricted dollars to the equity contributions and the scholarship program. Regarding the scholarship program, there could be a few options with what we do with the unrestricted dollars. You could potentially size the undergraduate scholarship at a larger amount for a fiscal year. If you recall, we received $500,000 annually from CSLF, and then we break that up into two components, which I believe this current cycle was $465,000 for the undergraduate program and $35,000 for the scholarship program, or the certificate scholarship program. Another option would be to take the $500,000 annually from CSLF and make that all for the undergraduate scholarship program, and then use some of these unrestricted dollars for the certificate scholarships. And then also that would enable us to keep the certificate scholarship program open for the entirety of the fiscal year. I believe this year the certificate scholarship are going pretty quickly, and we'll probably have to shut that down sooner than the end of the fiscal year. So I think that's it. I'll stop there. Are there any questions from the board?
Marty Budd, one, I think this is a wonderful, I was the one who requested it. I think it's a wonderful response. But I want to point out that 25 years ago, when we started to have what you call unrestricted funds, we were concerned about the termination of Chesla. And I think there is a resolution that suggested that the $1 million, which we had then, would be used for termination expenses. I assume it's much less likely now that Chesla will be disbanded. 25 years ago, it wasn't so sure. But I take it If for some reason the General Assembly suspended all of Chesler's work and we just had to pay off our bonds and so forth, that any expenses would come, if we use up all the unrestricted, what you call unrestricted, how would the expenses for the termination of Chesler be handled? Would CHIFA make a contribution to keep Chesler alive?
So, yeah, Marty, I think what we can do is still, you know, we're stating these in percentage terms. I think what we can do is back out to the extent that we want to keep the $1 million that historically had been there for wind down in the event that that happened. We can back that out and still apply these percentages to the remainder. So that's sort of that's why it's stated in percentage terms. But yes, so we maybe that's we should specify that.
I could be wrong. Do we also have $1 million that's restricted as well that could be available in a wind down instance?
Or? Right. Carly, on the financial statements, is the...
We have called this unrestricted because it was just restricted by the board.
Right.
So the board can change that, and we should have a vote approving this, which in effect would unrestrict the funds from a board restriction.
Right.
So I don't know if you want to always keep $1 million, I mean, that's a question for you to advise us.
Right.
I think, you know, the approach that I was assuming is that these percentages would apply apart from the what historically has been designated as, you know, sort of an operating reserve in the event of a wind down.
Secondly, I assume these percentages, and we ought to in the resolution say that we're keeping $1 million restricted by the board for untoward events or something. We presumably, as bonds mature and CSLF bonds mature, these numbers will increase from $3 million. And so I assume these percentages will apply to the $5, $6, or $8 million that we ultimately end up with over the next 10 years.
Right. So the plan is we would use these dollars as needed. So certainly equity contributions to bond transactions have become a fairly, you know, frequent phenomena that, you know, typically almost annually. So I would expect there's going to be some drawdown of dollars going towards equity contributions. And we would look at it as these activities arise. So for example, the first thing coming up would be the scholarship program, which we look at in January. How much money are we putting into the scholarship program? If we wanted to add some, you know, $50,000 out of Chesla money to go towards certificate scholarships, we would have the opportunity to consider that in January, and that would be part of a board resolution in January in connection with the scholarship program. Then when we get to the bond transaction, we'd have the opportunity to consider equity contribution. And then new initiatives, you know, would arise, you know, as needed. It's would be kind of unpredictable. So there may be years when these dollars are used, other years when all the dollars are not used. So that's why we're saying these things would come back to the board at the time of implementation. And in the meantime, they would remain invested pursuant to the investment policy. So Josh, were you going to say something?
Well, you touched on it. I was going to say any utilization of the funds would come directly to the board before using it.
Well, that of course, while I think we should approve this memo or accept this memo, the current board restriction obviously will be overruled by a new board determination, for instance, to make the equity contribution. Of course, after you make the next equity contribution, if it's at the same level it was, most of these funds will be gone. 60%.
Right. And Marty, you know, the historical trend of equity contributions has really varied. So it has not consistently been, you know, $1 million or more. There have been times when it's, you know, 500,000, 300,000. For a while, we were just contributing cost of issuance. So I think it does, you know, it kind of remains to be seen what the equity contributions would be going forward. But certainly, you know, if this is, you know, it's something approved by the board, that means if it's necessary for something to change, the board can approve a change.
So I will move acceptance of this proposal with the clear statement that any particular use of what's called the unrestricted funds will be approved by the board when they are proposed by management.
Right. All right, Marty, thank you for the motion. Is there a second? I'm happy to second it.
I'll second. So
motion's been made and seconded to accept management's proposed allocation of the unrestricted funds with the caveat that when money is to be drawn out, it comes to the board. Any further discussion? Comments, questions? All right. Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions? Thank you. Motion carries unanimously. Charles, are you going to walk us through the updated investment policy, please?
This is, yes, Marty Budd again. I take it Charles, as he previously said, is a newcomer. Perhaps he or Jeanette can tell us a little bit about him. Is this a new position or is he replacing someone? Obviously, a portion of his salary will now become a Tesla expense. So welcome, Charles, but I'd like to get to know you better.
Thank you, Marty. Jeanette, I joined on July 10th.
Why don't I just give a little background? Yeah. So, yes, realizing now, a little belatedly, that this is Charles's first Tesla board meeting. So Charles is Chifa's new managing director for finance and operations. He replaced Cynthia Peoples, who resigned from Chifa effective December 31st of 22. So Charles joined Chifa on July 10th. So he's been here about 2.5 months. And so one of his areas of responsibility is the investment policies. And so at Chifa's board meeting yesterday, there was a review of the Chifa investment policy, and with the goal of having, you know, consistency as appropriate between Chifa, Tesla, and CSLF with regard to investment policies. And as far as, you know, salary allocations are concerned, Marty, just following up on your comment, you know, the use of any management time by, you know, Chifa staff time for Tesla is documented. So, you know, people keep track of the hours that they spend on Tesla and on CSLF, and then those hours are converted into dollar amounts based on salary that are billed accordingly, you know, depending on how much time has been used. So
we used to have an allocation from Cynthia, and now we'll have an allocation from Charles. Where did Charles come from? What did he do before?
So Charles, you want to give your background?
Sure thing. So thanks. Glad to be here. I came to Chifa, as Jeanette said, on July 10th. Before that, I was working with Capital for Change, which is a CDFI lender based in Wallingford. I was with them as CFO for 4 years. And before that, I spent 13 years with Bank of America in risk management and finance in support of their private wealth division. So long finance background. Like I said, glad to be here and happy to walk you guys through the investment policy this afternoon.
Thank you very much and welcome.
Thank you, Marty.
So thanks, Kara, for putting up page 90. I don't think this is going to take us very long to walk through. Just to sort of orient everyone as to what's in the package, I provided a red line version, which shows all the changes and some commentary. And then there's also a clean version, which begins on page 100, I believe it is. I'm sorry, 107. So the red line version, really, this is about transparency, right? It's showing you exactly what we changed. The clean version, of course, a lot easier to read, and it's what you're going to be voting on today. So the changes are fairly minimal. I can take you through a little flip through real quick. On page 91 is the first change. There's really only three. Here we're adding the sentence. This is the sentence that's in the CHIFA document for the CHIFA investment policy. So we're just striving for consistency across all three policies. Looking at page 92, at the top here, we've made some changes to put my title in here. As Jeanette indicated, I will have some responsibility around investment policy and investment decisions. So we wanted to update that aspect. And then the last change, which is on page 100, is to remove the 1990 master resolution from the appendix, right, as that has been closed out. So those are the three primary changes. Not much taking place here to change and report to you.
This is Marty Budd again. Two questions about the policy. One, it says we'll review it every 2 years. I hope that's correct. On somebody's calendar. I guess we have done that. At least the last one was in 21, so we're pretty consistent for the moment. But please, Charles, it's now your responsibility to make sure we do it. Now
you got it.
The other question is, it occurred to me, who is the custodian? This talks about us having a suitable custodian. Who is a custodian, for instance, of our net unrestricted?
So all of our, you know, U.S. Bank is our bond trustee. So in terms of bond related funds, they're held by U.S. Trust and then, I mean, U.S. Bank, and then U.S. Bank also holds some of our non-trust accounts as well. As you know, Carly typically references during her reports things like the scholarship account, the non-bonded refi account, and things like that.
So it's really U.S. Trust Company that's our custodian for our own non-bond funds.
U.S. Bank, yeah.
U.S. Bank, yes.
Right, and then many of those dollars are invested in the state's short-term investment.
Right, fund. Right. But when we do treasuries, they would hold the treasuries.
Do we right, in those accounts, yes.
Right, right. Thank you. So I'm happy to move approval of this proposed investment policy amendment.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Peter. Yeah, there's a resolution at the end of the policy for approval.
Okay. So, Marty,
I'm happy to make that resolution.
Okay. So, motion's been made to adopt the investment policy per the resolution in our board packet. Is there a second?
It's Julie Savino. I'll second.
Thank you, Julie. So motion's been made and seconded to accept the resolution, the adoption of the investment policy as presented at Exhibit A in our board packet. Are there any further questions for management or staff with regard to the investment policy as proposed? Any further questions or discussion? All right, hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you very much. Motion carries unanimously. And Charles, thank you again for your work on this.
Yeah, thank you all.
Okay. Next two items of business have to do with positions on the board, two separate agenda items, two separate votes. The first one being the election of the vice chair. I'm very happy to report that Julie Savino has agreed to continue to serve in her role as vice chair. I'm very appreciative of that. Her expertise in the area of student financial assistance is huge. Her knowledge is incredible, so I'm very happy to have her continue to serve. It does require a vote of the board, so if someone would like to make a motion to elect Julie Savino as, to continue as vice chair, I would appreciate it. Is there a motion?
So moved. Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew. Is there a second?
Second.
Right. Got a second. Any discussion, questions, comments, or congratulatory comments to Julie? Anything? All those in favor of electing Julie Savino to continue as vice chair, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Aye. Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Peter, this is Julie. I'll abstain from that vote, but I want to say thank you to my colleagues.
Thank you. Julie, it's us. Thank you. So thank you. Motion carries. The next item, again, having to do with board composition, is the election of committee chairs and the appointment of committee members. And before we continue, Denise, can we put all this in one vote, or do the chairs of the committee need to be voted on separately from the membership of the committees?
You can do it all in one vote as long as it's going to be a unanimous vote, you know, unless someone has an objection to anything.
Okay. If there are any objections, we'll break it out in separate votes. So with that, let me just start by saying that I've reached out to everyone, and I'm very appreciative that folks are willing to continue in their current roles. And those roles consist of on the Audit Finance, Human Resource Committee, Marty Budd is chair, and members being Julie Savino, Andrew Foster, and Michael Izzati. And on the Consultant Vendor Committee, it would be Bettina Brown Eyes as chair, Kelly Marie Valliers, and Carrie Kelly as members. So spoken or had an email exchange with everyone. Those are the it's a continuation of the existing committee chairs and membership. I'd be happy to entertain a motion to accept those recommendations, and then we can have discussion if necessary. So is there a motion? I will move it. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. We have a second. So again, I appreciate everyone being continuing to serve either as chair or a committee member. Are there any questions or comments? Hopefully no objections. Questions or comments? Discussion? All those in favor of electing the slate of chairs and committee members as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Are there any abstentions?
I would like to abstain for the reasons Julie previously said, and also to thank the colleagues for the nomination.
Okay.
Yeah, I was wondering about that too. If we all abstain because we're nominated, is there a quorum to even pass this?
Denise, would you like to weigh in on this? You're on mute, Denise.
Right. It's up to the board member whether to abstain. I don't think it's required for you to abstain from a board membership vote. But you're right, it would require a majority for each of the positions in order to pass. So
if we all abstain because we're, I mean, it's just kind
right.
of weird.
Right.
All right, I'll keep my vote as yes, just to keep the quorum.
Thank you, Bettina. Motion carries. Thank you all very much. Thank you, Denise. Okay, we have a couple of updates and reports. Jeanette, would you like to start with the authority update?
Sure, just a couple of items. In the last legislative session, there was Public Act 23-70. So that's something that passed in the last session. It expanded the Alliance District Teacher Loan Subsidy program to include paraprofessionals and counselors. And so we will be coming back to the board in November with updates to the program manual for approval and also the memorandum of understanding with the State Department of Education to incorporate those additional groups into the program. And then just wanted to mention, we are also gearing up for our next strategic plan planning cycle. So the current strategic plan will end on June 30 of 24. So we will be getting the starting this fall with staff, and then getting into the board session in January. We will be working on the strategic plan that would begin with July 1st of 2024. And so, you know, there'll be more to come with regard to the date in January. If you recall, the board session, the way we've been doing it is as a combined CHIFA and CHESLA board session with regard to strategic planning. So there'll be more to come on that. So those are the two general updates. Otherwise, I was going to go into highlights of the strategic plan status report, unless there are any questions.
Yeah, Marty, Bud, were the policemen included in the legislation for the Alliance expansion?
There was another bill that passed that did, and maybe Dan Gingy, I think, is on the call. Maybe Dan, can you speak to that?
Yeah, there were a handful of loan subsidy proposals that passed in this most recent session, in addition to the one that Jeanette touched on. There were two other bills. The numbers escape me at the moment, but one created a program specific to EMS, and the other created a program for police officers in distressed municipalities.
Were those effective, and are we supposed to be the administrators?
That is how they're drafted. The bills were signed by the governor, but their implementation is reliant on funding. At this point, the programs have not received that necessary funding.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Any other questions? Okay, so moving into the strategic plan status report, and this is for the fiscal year ending June 30 of 23. So in your packet was a complete version of the status report. And what I'm doing in this meeting is just going over some of the highlights and notable achievements, but hopefully you all had the opportunity to take a look at the actual full report, which includes both CHIFA and CHESLA. So with regard to CHESLA collaboration, which is one of our key strategic pillars, some notable achievements with regard to CHESLA is collaboration with Connecticut Innovations and DECD on marketing of the employer student loan repayment program. And before I really go over any of these, I also want to say, you know, all of this is all of the achievements relative to the strategic plan. It's all a team effort. It's a, you know, CHESLA wide effort, and in other instances, CHIFA and CHESLA wide effort. So I want to make sure it's clear that everyone is contributing, and there are, you know, whether or not everyone's working on a specific initiative or just participating in keeping the organization running efficiently on a day-to-day basis, it's all critical to our ability to achieve strategic initiatives. So I want to thank everyone for that. So Connecticut Innovations is actually within, I believe it's sort of related to the Department of Economic and Community Development. And we work closely with them to identify opportunities, you know, companies that wanted to work with the, take advantage of the employer student loan repayment program. So Josh has been leading the charge on this, has been the primary contact with Connecticut Innovations. And we have one of their portfolio companies that signed up to have their employees take advantage of the benefit. We're hoping that going forward, there'll be, you know, perhaps renewed interest in this program overall, because of the return to repayment on the federal loan side might make more employees feel that their company should support them or assist them with their ability to repay their student loans. Then also collaborating with legislators as they consider new student lending initiatives, some of which we just talked about. So the Alliance District Teacher Loan Subsidy Model did become, you know, something that many legislators wanted to base, you know, other models on. Working, you know, Dan had many conversations with all of the relevant legislators, and it became an opportunity to really highlight the role of CHESLA in addressing, you know, some of these needs and seeing CHESLA as a as an important workforce development tool. Going on to the next slide. And this was, you know, another critical thing that we're trying to do is broaden, assess, and communicate the impact of CHESLA. So last fall, we heard from our economists that conducted our economic impact analysis, showing some very significant impact on the state's economy as a result of CHESLA's loans and scholarships. Already touched on some of the raising the visibility of CHESLA as a result of the Alliance District Teacher Loan Subsidy Program. We have had various media mentions and TV segments on NBC Connecticut and WFSB. We also have had a lot of communication with the Office of Workforce Strategy, which again is helping to broaden our impact potentially. And then Josh and the staff, Yesenia and Shannon, do quite a bit with regard to outreach, college fairs, financial aid nights. Again, so all of that is raising awareness of CHESLA and its services. Next slide. Technology, these are really things that are at the CHIFA level. So CHESLA does look to CHIFA for its, you know, technology support. So this is really just highlighting a couple of things that were done at the CHIFA level. I guess the most significant being the, from a security perspective, this two-factor authentication that we're using. But obviously, you know, many other things going on technology-wise. And then lastly, on the organizational identity, culture, and sustainability, we did have our underwriting team with regard to diversity, equity, and inclusion. Our underwriting team for our spring bond transaction did include Blaylock Van, a minority firm, who was also represented in our 22 bond transaction. Last fall, CHESLA staff participated, as did Chief of Staff, in the Day of Service, which was at a Salvation Army Child Care Center in Hartford, and we have another one upcoming in next month, ethics training. And then, as you heard, the Clean Independent Audit, CHESLA relies on Chief of Staff for its accounting services. So certainly, you know, our primary contact being Carly Levin, but certainly the results of the audit reflecting the quality of work done by Joanne and Carly and others in the accounting area. So those are the highlights. As I said, the full-blown summary was in the package. If there are any questions, happy to answer them.
Any questions for Jeanette? No? Okay. Thank you, Jeanette. Josh, you gonna do a quick portfolio update?
Yeah, thanks, Peter. So I'll start on page 150 of the board package with the loan disbursement data. So for fiscal 23, the in-school loan program disbursed about $19.9 million, which represented a $3.6 million increase or 22% increase over fiscal year 22. So a nice rebound year from some of the down COVID years. I would then like to turn to page 153 in the board package. I have our 2023B comparison to the cash flow assumptions. And I'll attempt to kind of clarify what I'm showing here. So if the board recalls, resolution 2022-09 was approved by the Chesil Board of Directors on November 15, 2022. And this was an inducement resolution allowing Chesil to reimburse itself up to $2 million from bond proceeds for loans made from Chesil funds. The actual disbursements below in this cash flow comparison include both 2022 non-trust disbursements at a 5.49% rate on loans that were committed prior to the 2023B bond deal. And also this includes 2023B loan disbursements at a 6.35% interest rate. As of May 16th, which was the closing of our bond deal, all 2022 non-trust loans are a part of the 2019 trust, and the revenue from those 2022 non-trust loans flows to the 2023B revenue account. So the cash flow assumptions here that total $25 million, that includes up to the $2 million that can be reimbursed back to Chesil. So in comparison to the cash flow assumptions through August, we're about $280,000 behind the cash flow assumptions. There's nothing really to worry about here. If you look at the committed loan applications at the bottom, totaling $13.3 million, and you add that to what's been dispersed so far through August, you get about roughly $7 million remaining for the 2023B loan proceeds. And that's directly in line with prior years and the amount of proceeds we've had remaining, at about this time. So I don't think there's anything to worry about. The loan volume looks good, and, we're tracking in line with the same amount of dollars available as with prior years. I'd now like to move on to page 154, which is the Refi CT loan disbursement data.
Josh, just a quick question, Marty Budd here. Yep. So you think we will, be able to originate another $14 million in loans by the required time, which is August of next year. That's what I hear you saying when you say don't worry.
Yeah, I mean, we already have $13.3 million committed, right, which are already, you know, ready to go out the door and disperse whenever the school wants the funds. Also keep in mind, in advance of January. So the November, December months, we have what we call the mini peak season, where we'll have students and families coming and submitting applications to us if they need funding just for the second semester. So, like I said, it's tracking in line right with prior years. And also keep in mind these cash flow assumptions run through August of 2024, which takes into account, you know, some of our next peak season as well. So I think it's tracking right in line with what we want to see.
Josh, I think there's one thing that may need to be clarified, and that is with your committed loan applications and the loans that you have already made, that's approaching $18 million. So you only have about $7 million that would be unexpended, and not $14 million, I think I heard Mr. Budd reference.
Yeah, Tim, that's a good point. All right.
Okay, thank you. I guess we'll look at this at our November meeting again.
Yes, sir. It will be in the package. On page 154, we have our Refi TT loan disbursement data. So Refi TT disbursed about $4.9 million in fiscal year 2023, which you can see is much higher than any of the prior fiscal years. As a reminder, the refinance loan volume spike was due to below market interest rates that we were offering. We ended up closing the refi application on March 7th, due to no refi CT dollars available. And then we reopened the application on May 16th, in coordination with the closing of our new bond deal. So, long story short, I wouldn't expect future refinance years to be at $4.9 million. Future refinance years will probably track more in line with what we've seen historically at around, you know, $3 million.
Josh and Marty Budd again. I noticed on page 157, refi loans have been used to refi loans, which is a kind of interesting event.
Yeah, it's a very rare case, but we have instances where somebody may have taken out a 10-year repayment term, and then, due to financial circumstances, they may then want to refinance out to a 15-year to lower the immediate monthly payments.
Thank you.
Yep. And then I would also like to turn to page 165 in the board package. So this is our performance dashboard. All I really want to point out here is that the UAS servicing performance, which had some issues dating back to December of 2022, the performance levels stabilized as of June. And this was due to new call center staff being hired by UAS, onboarded and trained. So I will keep an eye on that performance with UAS, but we expect the performance to be in line moving forward.
I'd like to go back to page 161, Marty Budd here. I don't understand that. It shows that the average income in New Britain is close to $700,000. Is that what the chart says? Hard to believe.
So just to clarify with this report on page 161 is for the Alliance District Teacher Loan Subsidy Program. It's showing the income per loan dispersed. As I note at the bottom of the page, since we removed the debt-to-income ratio requirement as of December 2022, we no longer verify income as a qualification for the Alliance District program. So this chart here it's solely reliant on the income that the teacher applied with. And I would just caution to take this information as verbatim as to what it's telling you, because I've seen instances where teachers applied with their annual income, because we essentially ask for monthly income. So I've seen instances where teachers put their annual income in for their monthly income, and then it kind of skews what they're actually making per year. So long story short, yeah, I don't think there's a teacher in Stamford making $1 million, and I don't think the teacher in New Britain is actually making $700,000. Again, I would suspect they entered their annual income in as their monthly income, and that's why it kind of stands out as an outlier. And going off of that, that's also why on the last Alliance District slide, I believe that's page 164, I say that the chart is really not available due to some erroneous income inputs.
Thank you.
Okay.
Maybe we can clean that up. You know, I don't think it's very good for the record or the public, if they should ever see it, that we're making Alliance loans to people who make $1 million or $700,000. I think we ought to try and get that corrected.
Yep, I would agree, Marty.
Yeah, we'll take a look at it and try to clean it up for future meetings. So yeah, again, on page 165, UAS's performance has stabilized, and we'll keep an eye on that. The last point I wanted to make is I did not receive campus door reports in time for the board package, but the campus door performance for the quarter, campus door met standards as the loan originator for all KPIs for the quarter. So in good shape with campus door. So that's the end of my update. Are there any other questions?
Any questions for Josh? No, very thorough. Thank you, Josh.
All right. Thank you all. Appreciate it.
Over to Shannon for a marketing update.
Yes. Hello, everybody. So I'm going to make this quick. So just for an update for the TRESL website, and just a continued efforts to just build awareness around the programs and resources we provide. From last year to this year, we saw over 70,000 new visitors to the website, which is a 93% increase from the year prior. 370,000 page views. Sessions, 117,000, and then over 65% of our online traffic came from organic searches, direct to site, or email, direct email marketing. Next slide. So for CT dollars and cents, we saw over 2,000 site visits to the website. 80% of the traffic comes from organic searches and direct to site, which really means that individuals are searching. Either searching for CT dollars and cents, or they're finding it in the top tier of the Google search that they're going to, over 3,600 page views. And then 90% of the page views were to the homepage and managing money page. Next slide. And then overall for marketing outreach, we attended the new educator orientation in August. Jeanette and Josh had two long form interviews discussing TRESL programs with WFSB, Good Day CT, and Fox 61 Live, Work, Play. We continue just doing outreach and promotion for all of our programs, TV, radio, digital, and et cetera. Does anybody have questions on that? Okay. And then additionally, it's not in the actual slides, but I did want to give an update. In a previous meeting, we discussed our website RFP. It has been completed. The deadline was August 14th. We received over 26 proposals, which is quite a lot to go through. And we decided on Peralta Design of Shelton, Connecticut. They have over 15 years of experience And we are in contract negotiations, et cetera. The decision was made last week. Anybody have any questions?
I would just like to jump in regarding the website RFP and recognize the efforts of Shannon. As she mentioned, we had over 20 submissions. It was a much more time-consuming process than you would see from a typical, say, bond counsel RFP or financial advisor RFP. So it was very time-consuming. Shannon led the process and was very thorough throughout. So I just wanted to make that an acknowledgement to the board.
Shannon, I had one question. This is Tim Webb for the record, Hilltop Securities. A 93% increase in visitors. What do you write that off to? I mean, that's tremendous.
Yes, it is. I will say, I think just the increase and the diversifying of the marketing has helped. I think that we were coming back also from the low. I know last year was great, but I think this year was even better because we do still have competitive rates. And then the scholarship opening, I think there was just it was a quiet storm that helped build that and increase that back up.
Thank you.
No problem. Any other questions? Thank you, guys. That's
all. Thank you, Shannon. Okay, and Yesenia.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Can hear you, but can't see you.
Okay. All right. Something was going on with the laptop, but as long as you can hear me. So I have a scholarship update. I'm not sure if you guys remember, we did have our scholarship ceremony on July 28th. I would like to report that went great. We had a great turnout with that. So thank you everyone who helped and those who showed up. I think it was a great event for our recipients. So the board approved $486,000 for our recipients this year. So far, I have dispersed $480,000 of that. So I was able to successfully verify enrollment for all of our recipients. There's only, I believe, two scholarships left to disperse, which students would like to defer for the spring semester. So I will wait till the spring to do that. And then in terms of our certificate scholarship, that opened July 1st, and that is first come, first serve until funds run out. So far, I've dispersed 6 of those scholarships, and 8 of those are set to disperse next week. So that leaves us with about 14 scholarships for until July 1st of 2024, which I'm sure we will get out the door way before that because of the way the volume of scholarship applications have been coming in. I think that money will go out very soon. So that's it in terms of scholarship.
Thank you, Yesenia. Any questions?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
This is Carrie Kelly. I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit more about the non-credit scholarships that have been awarded. So you said 6 have been awarded so far and 8 are in the pipeline, leaving an estimated 14 available. Can you tell me a little bit more about the programs the students are pursuing or the institutions that they are attending?
Yeah, so our certificate scholarship is specific to healthcare certificate programs and manufacturing.
Right.
So far I've seen is usually community colleges that are offering these programs, but there are some schools such as Sacred Heart that has a brewing science program, which we've awarded students on that. There's also Goodwin University that offers certificate scholarships in medical coding. I see a lot of phlebotomy, dental assisting, things of that sort.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
I would just add to that, Three Rivers has, I think, a large portion of those certificate scholarships. They seem to be really pushing the certificate scholarship out to their students.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anya? Okay, there are no further questions on any of the update reports. We can move on. The next item is a discussion of the executive director's performance review, and I'd like to move into executive session. So if there's a motion to move into executive session, I would entertain a motion to go into executive session.
Well, moved.
Julie Savino.
Is there a second?
Julie Savino, second.
Okay, great. Been made and second. Motion been made and seconded to move into executive session. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? And I would like to invite only CHESLA board members into the executive session. And I believe you're going to have a tab on your screen to join a breakout. Okay. Denise, do we need a vote saying that were no votes taken, or can we just state it for the record?
You could state that you returned from executive session and no votes were taken.
All right, we have returned from executive session and there were no votes taken. The next agenda item does require, or I'd like to move into executive session for discussion on UAS, a vendor. Is there a motion to move into executive session, please?
Bettina, so moved.
Thank you, Bettina. Is there a second?
Second, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew. All those in favor of moving into executive session, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. There should be a tab on your screen to go into the break. Okay. We have returned from executive session, and for the record, there were no votes taken. I believe that concludes our topics for the agenda. Is there any other business anyone would like to bring forward? Anything for the good of the cause? All right, I would entertain a motion to adjourn prior to a CSLF meeting. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Mike Azzotti.
Thank you, Mike. Is there a second?
Julie Savino, second.
Thank you, Julie. Discussion? None. All those in favor of adjournment, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you all very much. We're